We want to, I don't know if this will be the end, but it seems like it might be. It's starting to feel this way. This long, well, this series we've done of what the Lord is like. He's like this. He's like that. He's like the rose of Sharon. He's like the dew. He's like the lily of the valley. He's all these things to his people, isn't he? And I want to see which might be the parting one for this little series from the book of Revelation. If you would join me there in chapter 3, and we'll spend our time there this evening before we pray. You know, we were here not that long ago, so you know pretty much what this section is from verse 14 to 22, the last church, the church of Laodicea, and what the Lord had to say to them. He was not entirely pleased with them. There was a distaste to them because they were lukewarm. And the reason is verse 17 of Revelation 3, because you say I am rich and I have become wealthy and I have needed nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. And we'll add this verse with it, verse 19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, what we want to see is what is the Lord like in this section? And we want to liken him here to a merchant. He has things to sell, things that we need. Now, this merchant is the one with whom we deal. What does he say in verse 18? I advise you to buy from me. And so there is no intermediary. When you go to Walmart, you're not dealing with Sam Walton or whoever his latest descendant is. You're dealing with what? You have an associate. You deal with an associate. And that's, I don't know if that's good or bad, but this next story I'll tell gives an impression of the value of what this verse teaches. Back 40 years ago on Jefferson Drive, that goes all the way from Oak Cliff down through Cockrell Hill. There's a little hardware store there. True Value used to be called Allen Hardware because it was owned by a guy named Allen. And he hired me on for 3 partial days a week. And I'd been there for just, you know what a hardware store is like. There's 10,000 things in there. And I've been there a week and some woman walks in and says, I'm looking for one of those pulsing shower heads. And I already looked around the place, and I'd tried to memorize where everything was, and I said, I just don't think we have one. I'm sorry. He said, really? I said, well, I don't see. And she walked out. We lost the sale. And it wasn't 5 minutes that our eyes drifted up. And there it was, the top of the shelf. There was a pulsing shower, exactly what she wanted. That woman needed to deal with Mr. Allen, not with me, because I was an ignoramus, but he knew where everything in the store was. When you own a place, it's kind of like that. And so there's a sweetness to verse 18. I advise you to buy from not an angel, not an apostle, not some traveling missionary that's going through selling things in Christ's name. He says, you come to me and you buy from me. And the glory of the Protestant church, the revelation that was rediscovered, is that we deal straight with him. We don't have to go through any man. In fact, men just get us down, don't they? Men steer us wrong. Men say, we don't have this. Men say, I just don't know. I can't give it to you. Men say all kinds of things. Men say, give me more money and even more money, and then we'll talk. We come to Christ, and he says, I advise you, buy from me. Here is a merchant, and he is the one with whom we have to deal. Also, this merchant is the one who knows us. He knows our every need. Now, I guess I'm as guilty as the next fella, especially at Christmas time, of just going to the store and hoping for inspiration. Do you ever do this? Maybe it'll hit me. Some great new gizmo will be out there, and I'll say, ah, that's what I'll give for so-and-so. And I give the next new gizmo to so-and-so else. We have a collection of gizmos at home, and you could tell that my brother and sister-in-law were stumped when they were buying stuff for Billy. They didn't really know her all that well. And so we have a farm scene painted on a trash can. They thought that's a good idea. We have this. We have this bric-a-brac and this knick-knack. And you could tell that Billy kind of stumps them. They really, after all these years, they really don't know her all that well. Now, I'm easy to buy for. They go to the store and buy me a board, and I'm happy. But Billy's a different story. This merchant, he knows us, and he knows our needs. Look at verse 17. These people didn't even know themselves. You say, our Lord reveals, you say, I'm rich. You say, I've become wealthy. You say, I have need of nothing. Well, let me just restate the issue for you, he says. You don't know that you are wretched, that you are miserable, that you are poor and blind and naked. Now, we added verse 19 to this because you get a client like this coming into your store and you just throw them out. You're customer, Martin. Kick them out the door as soon as you can. No, I advise you to buy from me those very things that you need. Are you this? He has that. Are you something else? He has the need supplied. He knows us, doesn't he? This merchant absolutely knows us. And it's both alarming and comforting at the same time. You may feel as you go to pray, as you come and kneel before him, that he can read you like a book. And that's a good feeling because he can. He knows all about you. And you reveal nothing to him when you pray. But you state your needs, and your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. But in this process, as we come to him, we have the confidence that whatever that need is, he has it in his store, doesn't he? And thirdly, he has exactly what we need. When, for instance, if we're poor, he has gold. If we're naked, he has garments to sell. If we are blind, he has eye salve. Now, when we went to Rio de Janeiro on this little mission trip that we took back in 1980, our host family, the last day that we were there, they were so kind to us. The man took a day off from work, and I think the kids took a day off from school. Well, that wasn't so much kind on their part. But they took Milton Thiem and myself around, and they showed us some of the sites, and one of them was this big store. And the entire first floor is this monstrous, cavernous grocery store. I mean, Brazil's got a lot of people in it. And right next to the shrimp section was an escalator, and you go up, and there's furniture. And then there's another escalator, and you go up, and there's shirts and pants and socks, and it's one-stop shopping. Again, Sam Walton is nothing on these people. And, you know, I could just say, I'm going to the store, honey. It's not Pablo's, it'd be Paolo's, right? I'm going to Paolo's, and what are you going to get? Well, I got to get some shrimp, and I got to get that sofa you wanted. I'm going to get a shirt. One stop. Well, I'm sure I don't think they sell cars, but one place, you think, that place could virtually meet all of my needs, maybe. But here's one place that you can go, one man, one merchant, one store that you can visit, and he has everything that you need. Oh, I'm poor, I have gold. I'm naked, I have white garments for you. I can't see. Well, I have eye salve for you. And so, what does he say? I advise you to buy from me. Now, here's the question. These are already poor men. How do poor men buy? If you've got nothing to buy with, and heaven sort of shuns earth's currency anyway. You come to this merchant who's saying, I advise you to buy this from me. And what are you going to offer him in exchange? How do poor men secure their needs in those olden days? If they were that poor and they had nothing left, there is one commodity that remains to all men, isn't it? What is it? Yourself. Your own soul. This is the resource that you have at your disposal. I mean, you could be like this family that have lost everything. Well, they haven't lost everything. They've got their health pretty much. They've got their lives, and they still have that. I mean, you can buy more stuff. You can rebuild in time. But if you're poor, I mean, dirt poor, and someone is saying to you, buy gold from me, it begs the question, with what, sir? And these old-timers would say, well, to settle this impossible score, this improbable debt, all I can do is, like the hymn writer says, here, Lord, I give myself away, is all that I can do. Take me. They would sell themselves into bondage, into slavery. They would become the servant of this person to settle the debt and the score. And so this happened. It happened a lot. And it's not that dissimilar in this merchant's shop here. I have these things that you need. What will it cost to buy it? It will cost you everything. Now, we will presume that they'd already made that initial transaction because they're Christians and the Lord says, I love you, and this is the church of. And so we could assume that already that initial deal has been struck, right? They've given themselves to Christ. They are his. We are yours, Lord. Then why is he still advising them to buy? And then what are they going to do? I think the answer is right there. Be zealous, therefore, at the end of verse 19, and repent. Go back to your initial agreement. Go back to that bargain. This is always the price. This is the score. This is how we settled the books and the accounts. You may have anything from me that you need, but it will cost you yourself. You gave it to me freely once. Have you taken back some? Have you gathered some of yourself back to yourself? And so he says, repent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, we'll close these simple thoughts. I admit that they're simple, with a couple of illustrations from the Gospel of Matthew. Here's the question. Is it a good bargain? If you're getting gold or eye salve or white garments, and as I read that section in Revelation, it looks like it's priceless things to have. I mean, who wants their nakedness exposed? Who wants to be blind? Who wants to be impoverished? And Christ says, I'll remedy all that. And it sounds like a laudable kind of thing to buy. Well, the terms are the terms, but let's flavor it with this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and he hid. And I'm assuming that the man just stumbled across it somehow. It was there. He reburied it so that no one can find it. And then he went off to buy the field because he knew the field contains this. I mean, you look at your field around you and one field looks like another. One may have a few more trees. One may have a few more hills. One field is like any other field. But he says, no, there's one field that's different. It's got something there. Now listen to the rest of the parable. It's short. A man found and hid, and from joy over it. From joy over it, he goes and he sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Because he knows, he sees. It's just a field, his friends tell him. You're selling all that you've got. You're giving everything that you've collected all these years. He says, he may not tell them, but he says to his heart, absolutely, and what a bargain it is. Oh, and there's something they really can't wipe off this man's face. It's that sense of joy, right? I'm going to buy the field. I'm going to get the field. And they're scratching their heads. Well, okay, there's a better field right next to it. And I want that one. I want that one. And so for joy, he buys. There's the illustration of, is it worth it? Is it worth it? It's worth selling everything that he had just to get the treasure. The field is almost inconsequential, isn't it? I mean, a field is a field. This one has a treasure. You know, the people can look at the church and say, well, you know, I'd rather be a noon lion. I'd rather be one of those guys that's, give me another club, the Optimist Club. Now, that's a group of happy people. I'd like to be an optimist. And the church has this kind of they're kind of dour. That's not even a good-looking field. There's a treasure there. It may look like any other field. It may not look as good as some fields, but there is a treasure there that makes that one field worth selling everything, everything. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went, and the same thing, he sold all that he had. And his dad scratched his head, and his mother clicked her tongue and just couldn't believe it. He sold everything. What have you got, my boy? Look at this. And the point here is this fellow knew. He knew value when he saw it. He knew transcendent value when he beheld it. And he said, I've seen lots of pearls. I'm a pearl merchant. I've seen lots of them. They've gone through my hands this way, that way. I deal with this all the time. But this one, it's worth it. It's worth it. So, brethren, we are dealing with a merchant in this illustration. And he is the one with whom we deal. He is the one with whom we have to do. He is the one who knows us. He is the one who knows exactly what we need. He is the one who will exactly meet that need. And whatever it costs you, you know, it's just, I'll just say this, according to the good word of God, what little experience I've had, it's absolutely worth it. In fact, it's such a good deal that we'd be crazy not to close immediately and say, I want it. I want it now. I want more. So let's pray.